The Blue Water Chamber of Commerce hosts a variety of networking events, connecting their members with leads, referrals, and people they can do business with. See what's happening at the Chamber and how they can help your business grow at bluewaterchamber.com.
All right, on this Friday morning, it's a good time for us to catch up with State Senator Dan Lowers, find out what the Senate's been up to, and he's on the line with us right now. Dan, good morning.
Morning, Paul.
Appreciate you giving us a few minutes of your time today. It's been kind of a different tone there in Lansing with Democrats in control. We talked early on in the session about that, about how things were going. Now we're a few months into it. How's it been?
It's, you know, it's still an adjustment for me, but, you know, I think we're finally starting to get into more of a regular order of business. You know, the first few months, committee processes and all that, those things were kind of being pushed aside and bills were moving through without basically any input. Now we're getting down to, I guess, items where we're at least having at least one committee legislation's passed. So feel a little better.
I want to talk a little bit about legislation that's being explored regarding railroads, trying to make for shorter trains, essentially. Rail crossing times can be very, very long. That can be very, very dangerous. What's some of the train legislation before the Senate?
Well, there is some that's been introduced, you know, that would limit train length. I don't know exactly if that is intended to reduce delays. Normally, when there's a major train delay, it's because the train's not moving, you know, not because it is moving. So, you know, we have a particular issue in Emmett where there's a passing track, and so it's something that I have worked on with others. Other legislators before, in Flat Rock, Michigan, has a similar situation to Emmett, where there's crossings and passing tracks, and you know, the shuffling of cars can lead to some pretty long delays.
We have a lot of railroad track in the state of Michigan, and of course, with the derailment in Ohio earlier this year, and others that have followed, it's certainly worth looking at. Add railroads from a public safety perspective, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. And my understanding is by law, a train's never supposed to block a road for more than 20 minutes. Unfortunately, that's not the experience that some of us have. So I think, you know, there was an overpass built just outside of Port Huron there to the west a little bit a few years back, and because they had a similar situation there. But that's a major undertaking to put a overpass or underpass in. And I think we can find some solutions with some additional sidetrack that might alleviate the problem in Emmett. But, you know, railroad's important, and it's private. And so often we get calls from constituents saying, fix the railroad. But that's like, you know, it's not that the legislature has a direct arm to corner the railroad.
Yeah, and maybe there needs to be more federal regulation of railroads as well.
Yeah, that could be as well. You know, but usually those kind of regulations are guidelines, like the no more than 20 minutes, you know, blocking a crossing. It's when they're not adhering to the guidelines that really creates the problems.
I want to talk about legislation that is being proposed in the Senate from Republicans regarding constitutional carry. Talk a little bit more about that, what your thoughts are on basically allowing law-abiding adults to carry firearms without a license.
Yeah, well, you know, we have a system today where you can get a concealed pistol license, but constitutional carry basically just is a full recognition of the Second Amendment that says if you're a law-abiding citizen, you can carry a weapon. And you know, we think of it odd here in Michigan. You know, there are other parts of the state or other parts of the nation out west where they don't think that's quite so odd. But you know, I think it's most of the work that's been done on gun legislation this term has been to restrict law-abiding citizens, not to restrict criminals. And that's always the issue there, is that, you know, criminals really don't, if you're going to break the law, it doesn't matter what the law is. So, I think we're kind of moving in the wrong direction by making it more difficult. I saw an article yesterday that says that, Michigan ranks fourth in danger for women of rape. And we had testimony from a woman who was concerned about her gun rights being restricted. Her husband was actually killed in a restaurant, which was supposed to be, or a bar, was supposed to be a gun-free zone right in front of her. And the legislation we put forth with extreme risk protection orders, you know, could put her in a position where she could lose her ability to have a gun because of the stress that she's gone through in losing her husband. That legislation allows anyone to recommend that you have your gun rights taken away, and you're not even able to be present at the hearing where that would be decided.
A lot of this gun legislation comes, you know, in the wake of the mass shooting at Michigan State a couple of months ago. Of course, there was the Oxford High School shooting a couple of years ago. What do you propose to make public places safer, Dan?
Well, I think enforcing the laws we have on the books would do a lot. You know, if we look at the Michigan State shooting, the individual involved really, if the law had been followed, he should have never been able to legally purchase a gun. And I think that's where our mistake is. And then the other thing we have to do is we've got to start thinking about mental health differently. You know, guns have been around a long time. Wasn't that many years ago when kids could take their gun to school on the first day of visit season, you know, and so they could head right out after. So I don't think guns have changed. I think our culture has changed, and that's where we really need to be looking at how we can help people, move to a mindset of life instead of death, I think.
What's on the horizon for the Senate? What are you championing there in Lansing?
Well, the body is mainly concerned with the budget process right now. Myself, I'm working on legislation I've introduced to restrict foreign ownership of agricultural land, modeled after a system that's been in place in Iowa for some 40 years. With recent acquisition of a lot of land for mega sites for battery plants and things like that, with foreign ownership, you know, that's become a real concern. So working on that as we speak, and then there's a local issue that was brought to me by constituent regarding allowing companion animals to be present in the courtroom for witnesses who are up to 18 years of age. Right now, law only allows it up to 16, and this is something that I'm told from all the people involved is, you know, quite reasonable and very helpful when you have a witness in a stress situation to just have a companion animal. And those animals are provided by the court, and just moving that age up to at least to accommodate 18.
You mentioned foreign ownership of farmland. I want to get back to what you mentioned briefly, the battery plant, the tax break that was given to a Chinese company building a battery plant in Michigan. Your thoughts on that and in giving tax breaks to not just foreign companies, but Chinese-owned companies?
Well, I have a real problem with it. I've been pretty consistent in saying that's not the direction we should be going in. And if we are going that way with any foreign ownership, I think the vetting process needs to be far more thorough than what we've seen. There hasn't been environmental impact studies. There's been nothing discussed about how the local fire department will contain a fire at a lithium plant. Lithium batteries, I'm told that the best way to put out a fire is to bury it with dirt. So there's just all kinds of unanswered questions with this particular the plant in Big Rapids that's being looked at. So you know, I think we're trying too hard in this instance to bring that type of economic development to the state. Where, you know, it appears the state is willing to ignore, you know, a lot of questions that really should be answered before anything like that happens.
Dan, I always appreciate the update. We'll hopefully talk again real soon.
All right. Thanks, Paul. All good right. Speaking with you.
You too. Bye-bye. 1380 WPHM in Port Huron. That is State Senator Dan Lowers with us on this Friday morning. Cloudy out there. Rain on the way. We'll detail the weather forecast with Jennifer Fujitsky in just a few minutes on WPHM.